Molo Mkuluwa. Ah, you are muted. Uyivalile le nto.
Ubuhile kula mthotho wenu wase Nazareth.
Honorable members, zabuyela kuwe. Zabuyela kuwe.
Umcha.
No, enkosi Mkuluwa. Honorable members, let me welcome all of you. I think I've started with Honorable Olomisa. He wants to take me back to Nazareth. The country's going forward, Honorable Olomisa. Let me welcome all of you in 2023, and also welcome members of the media here in the meeting, our entire support staff, as well as the citizens of this country in their platforms of YouTube and 408. Today is the 24th of January, 2023. The Section 194 inquiry will resume according to our program, as you know, on the 30th of January, which is next Monday. Today we are meeting as a committee to, amongst others, do some housekeeping issues and prepare for the resumption of that important inquiry. We have done so much work in 2022, as you all know, and we are now left with a set of witness that is taking us closer to the conclusion of our work as this inquiry. We have to utilize, and I hope you had a very good rest and re-energized, because we are likely not to have any breather or any rest when we resume next week, Monday, because we have all the intentions to stick to our agreed program, which says we're going to be doing a lot of witness interactions in February. By March, we'll be speaking of the draft report writing. By April, according to our plan, that the National Assembly must have taken a particular decision either way on this matter. So from next week, we're planning to have a set of critical witnesses. And it is for that reason that we're meeting today, that the public protector would have requested this committee to help the public protector with the witnesses they have identified, which they request us as a committee to subpoena, because it is the mandate and the decision of the committee to do so once all the necessary processes and rigorous criteria are met. And so, as the agenda indicated today, we don't want to keep you for too long. We want to be as business as we can. Having opened this meeting, we are going to ask if the secretary, if there's any apologies that can be shared with the meeting. From there, we then get into these issues of correspondence, which will take us to these requests for those who must be subpoenaed, and the committee will have its own deliberations on the matter. And we also want to make sure that we clean any form of minutes that we have and do any other in-house matters that are still outstanding. Can I just get an indication, Mr. Ngoma, of any apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members and everyone present, and thank you very much. Yes, Chair, we have a few apologies. One from Mr. Milham, and then Mr. Nyonto of the PAC, and then Mr. Heron of Good, and Ms. Van Menen of the DA, and Dr. Gondwe, who might join us late. But if she doesn't join, it will then be a standing apology for this meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. for those apologies. Do we accept those apologies, honorable members?
Yes.
Honorable Olomisa proposed that we accept them. Anybody seconding him?
I second, honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable Lagude. Apologies accepted. And people who are present are here. Anybody else might still be coming. We'll see at the end of the meeting whether they would have come or they would be absent. We now immediately proceed, members, and I'm going to ask both Mr. Ngoma and Ms. Fatima later on to talk to us about the next item. Mr. Ngoma.
Thank you once again, Chairperson. Yes, Chair, we have received a number of correspondence, as you have indicated in your opening remarks, relating to request for summons from Sianeho attorneys. As I'm talking, Chair, I'm just trying to share my screen. There it is. Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, the first correspondence that we received would have been a letter from Sianeho on 6th of December. They're requesting extension for submission of letters of summons. You'd remember prior to this, we had given them a date, but they wrote to indicate that they will not be in a position to meet that date, and therefore requested an extension of the date of the 13th, of which we responded on the 8th of December, and we granted that extension. And Chairperson, on 13th of December, we received a number of letters from Sianeho. First one requesting the summoning of Ms. Bianca Mvuyane to appear before the committee as a witness. The letter, which has been shared with the members, it contains two annexures, which is a letter from Sianeho to Ms. Mvuyane and a screenshot of her response to Sianeho declining the request. The next letter, Chair, is that of Ms. Natasha Mazon, Sianeho requesting the summoning of Ms. Natasha Mazon, who's a member of Parliament, to appear before this committee. And also that letter contains two annexures, which is that letter that Sianeho wrote to Ms. Mazon and a response thereof, which has been shared with the members as well. The next letter, Chair, is to advocate Kolega Caleka, the current acting public protector, who was requested by Sianeho to appear before the committee. The letter that we received from Sianeho also contains a copy of that letter, so members would have it, and also declining her request. And Chairperson, the next one was that of Professor Tulima Donsela, who was also requested by Sianeho to appear before the committee as a witness. We do have a letter that Sianeho sent to the former public protector, which was shared with the members. I think it would have been this morning or late last night. Unfortunately, that one letter does not contain a response from Prof. Madonzel. The last one, Chairperson, being the letter also requesting the summoning of Mr. Pravin Godan to appear before the witness, to appear before this committee as a witness. And that letter also contains two annexures, a letter that was written to Mr. Godan and a response, two response letters from Mr. Godan's lawyers. Chair, as I've indicated, these letters were shared with the members, and I therefore table these letters to the committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Ngoma, for taking us briefly through that very self-explanatory correspondence in relation to the request to subpoena witnesses sent to the committee, which is now the subject of and the purpose why we're meeting today. Ms. Fatima Ibrahim, anything from your side?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members and everybody on the platform. Chair, as indicated by Ms. Ngoma, the committee received these five requests from the PP to summons various persons to appear before the inquiry. The applications were received in December, just before we closed, and that followed you as chair having granted several extensions to such request. Chair, I have previously given advice in relation to the request to summons President Ramaphosa, and that legal principles that were captured in my written opinion there would equally apply here, save for the specific concern that I raised during that discussion that the president played an executive function in this matter, insofar as he is the person that makes the decision on whether to suspend the PP or not. But just to recap, Chair, Section 56A of the Constitution, laid together with the Powers Act, provides that the NA or any of its committees may summons any person to appear before it or to produce documents. And this is reiterated in the terms of reference that is adopted by the committee. Then members will recall that when the directives were issued, the chairperson had regard to the fact that the PP may encounter difficulty in securing the appearance of witnesses, and we provided a procedure in the directives for the PP to seek the assistance of the committee where persons don't want to appear voluntarily on her request. That request must be considered now by the committee in terms of the procedure set out in the Powers Act. There is importantly, Chair, however, no automatic guarantee or right that the PP has to have a witness summonsed. Rather, it was meant to facilitate the presence of witnesses that the committee would require oral evidence from for purposes of establishing the veracity of the charges. So in this regard, Directive 3.2 specifically states that only evidence relevant to determining the veracity of the grounds of incompetence and or misconduct set out in the motion should be put before the committee. And if any evidence not so relevant that may be placed before the committee will be disregarded. And that latter part was, of course, to afford the committee the discretion during its deliberations to disregard any evidence not relevant to the motion and to assist in the smooth running of the inquiry, so as not to necessitate the need to make a determination while a witness was giving evidence. So this does not mean that witnesses should be called whose evidence would either not further the work of the committee or where their evidence is already before the committee in the form of affidavits or other materials that may have served before the courts. The directives, as I said, provided set out a process that the PP would have to comply with. And that process said that the application must be made in writing. This has duly been done. We've got five separate applications. That the applications be preceded by a written request to those persons whose presence the PP seeks, and that too has been done, as well as proof that they are refusing to cooperate, and to indicate what steps they've taken to secure the voluntary participation. So all of that information has been provided. Then in addition, the directives state that the application must indicate the subject matter on which the witness is to be questioned and or the documentation which the PP wants the witness to provide. And then also to give reasons as to why the testimony or evidence of that witness is necessary for the proper performance of this committee's functions. And it is the role of the committee chair to determine whether the requests were vague or otherwise irrelevant, or alternatively, if they provide sufficient information to satisfy the committee in that regard. As I advised previously, Chair, the power to summons is an important information gathering tool, and it facilitates the execution of the oversight function of Parliament. Especially where persons are reluctant or refuse to appear before a committee to provide evidence or information that the committee requires to fulfill its oversight function. But it isn't an unfettered power, and it isn't a power that should be abused. In light of the principle of legality, Parliament may only summons persons for the purpose of performing its constitutional and statutory obligations, including holding them to account or maintaining oversight related to the public functions that those persons perform. But each individual committee chair would also be restricted in terms of only being able to summon those persons who are able to answer questions or provide information related to the specific mandate of the committee. So in other words, this committee would not call for purposes of oversight persons in the health sector, for example, that would have nothing to do with the work that this committee is doing. We've previously advised that it's an extraordinary power, especially because we are not a court, and therefore we must exercise it only where objectively necessary, because it does intrude on the fundamental freedoms and on individual rights of persons. It also may have the adverse effect of discouraging the public to provide information to Parliament if there's a risk that people are going to be called unnecessarily to give evidence and to be subjected to what goes with that of giving evidence in a public domain, and in this particular matter of being cross-examined. Chair, I previously spoke about the case of the government employee medical scheme versus the public protector, where the courts explained that subpoena powers are extraordinary, that they are coercive powers, and this is why they generally reserve for courts, and that we must interpret these powers restrictively. So similar to Parliament, the PP in a capacity as public protector also has the power to summons persons, but of course that power would not have been able to be utilized for purposes of the inquiry. So Chair, in short, the constitutional power means that we must provide information that's only necessary to determine the veracity of charges, not simply because it's nice to have people appear before us. So the committee is going to have to satisfy itself that the proposed witness has personal knowledge of the subject matter of the inquiry, and that personal knowledge must be relevant for purposes of testing the veracity of the charges. So this would include, for example, the person having been involved in the actual investigation, drafting, or issuing of a report that forms the subject matter of the charges in the motion. And also to consider whether there's any less intrusive means of securing the information, example, from affidavits or sworn statements that already before the committee or in the public domain. So in this case, Chair, we do have a wealth of court pleadings that contain sworn affidavits that are before us. The committee must also then consider that its role is not to conduct oversight over any other person apart from the PP. So whilst the actions of some third parties may be subjected to oversight by Parliament generally, the mandate of this particular committee is narrow and focused. So it's important that the committee doesn't allow itself to be sidetracked and to enter into sub-inquiries. These, if necessary, Chair, can be referred to other portfolio committees or otherwise to other relevant bodies for further investigation if need be at the end of this process. It's not this committee's task to reinvestigate any of the matters investigated by the PP or to pronounce on the merits of investigations or court judgments. Rather, we must confine ourselves to the charges, which are very specific in relation to certain of the cases, and deal with what is reflected in the reports issued by the PP. Underscoring this, Chair, is we're looking at the methodology of the investigations that were undertaken. Chair, my role, of course, is not to make a decision for the committee, and I don't seek to do that. I am, however, just trying to assist and to give this input in terms of the general principles, which I've now pointed out, but I trust that members would have considered the written applications that they receive. And I have drawn attention to the criteria in the directives. But nevertheless, Chair, I'm just going to give a very brief snapshot of what the requests are. That's important for our public participation process as well. And just to put some context. The first one, Chair, is for Ms. Bianca Vujana. Ms. Vujana is currently an investigator at the PPSA. And from evidence already presented, we know that she was involved in the investigation into the so-called rogue unit, which formed the subject matter of the PP's 2019 report. And if members will recall, that was the report into allegations of violations of the Executive Ethics Code by Minister Gordhan, as well as allegations of maladministration and corruption and improper conduct by SARS. The committee also heard evidence in relation hereto from Mr. van Lochenberg and Mr. Pillay, if they'll recall. It is part of the subject matter under consideration in this inquiry, and it was put to the witnesses during cross that the investigators, who we understood to be Ms. Vuyani and Mr. Matu Boke, that they would provide evidence in relation to the summonsing of Mr. van Lochenberg. Members will recall that Mr. van Lochenberg complained that he had not received a summons and that steps weren't taken to try and find him. The committee is not in possession of any direct evidence at this point from Ms. Vuyana. Ms. Vuyana reported to Mr. Matuboge, who does appear on the PP's witness list as the willing witness, but to date we've not received a statement from him. And the evidence leaders have indicated that should the PP not call him, their intention is to request the committee to do so. And it may well be that if he is a willing witness that could testify to the same issues as Ms. Vuyana, then her presence may not be necessary. But it does raise the question as to why he is not being called, because that would be a less restrictive means instead of summoning her. The second person, Chair, is Honourable Mazzoni. And she cited Chair in her capacity as what the PP calls the complainant in the matter and the author of the motion, which forms the subject matter of the inquiry. And her presence, according to the application, is sought to obtain clarity on certain alleged ambiguities in the motion and other clarity-seeking questions. And the application refers specifically to clarity being sought on the meaning of legal costs as used in the motion. So members will recall at the end of last year, there was some debate whether legal costs include legal fees, because in the motion, the term legal costs was used. And then also on why her initial motion was withdrawn and then resubmitted. And then when it was resubmitted, it included a copy of an affidavit at the time from Mr. Samuel, who you'll also recall was our second witness. The request letter to Ms. Mazzoni also refers to clarity required on the genesis of the motion, the previous defective motions that were submitted and then withdrawn, and allegations that the PP was a spy. On that point, Chair, I note that that is not even a subject matter in this inquiry. And then also the basis for some of the allegations contained in the motion. Ms. Mazzoni did respond to the request and she declined to appear, citing that her subjective intentions or motivations are unhelpful and irrelevant. Chair, I am on record as previously advising that this is a motion of the National Assembly and it became such on adoption. So the motion stands as such and should be interpreted with reference to its content and not the subjective intention of the person who submitted the motion. Chair, from a legal perspective, the question of interpretation of the motion is one on which, in my view, the committee must make a determination. The motion was ruled in order by the Speaker and it was adopted by the NA. So Ms. Mazzoni's subjective input would be unhelpful, it would be immaterial. This is not a criminal trial, Chair, where Ms. Mazzoni can be compared to, for example, a victim. The interested party in this matter is the general public, and members act on behalf of the public. And it's this committee through, or the NA through this committee and its representatives who must make findings on whether those charges in the motion should stand or fall. So at this stage, Ms. Mazzoni, even if she were to come, she is not in a position to amend that motion in any way. So even if members were to disagree with what she had to say, she does not have the power to amend or even withdraw her motion at this time. Then, Chair, the next person is the current Deputy PP and Acting PP, Advocate Haleka Galeka. The PP seeks to secure her presence in that capacity. And Chair, she's been in this post of DPP since 1 February 2020, so fairly recent, having taken over from Mr. Kevin Malunga, who served in that position from 2012, firstly under Advocate Madonsela and then later on under the current PP until his term of office ended in 2019. So he would have been the deputy PP who was in office during the time when all of these investigations, which form the subject matter of the inquiry, happened. So the current DPP was requested by the PP to answer questions relating to evidence presented by Ms. Tijani and Mr. van der Merwe, including recent decisions by the office in respect of litigation and governance issues, which have been referred to the AG. And members may have read about this in the press, but late last year when we heard evidence in relation to the fees and litigation costs, the PP's office had issued a press statement saying that they had referred some of that information.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
The PP further stated that she wishes to question the DPP on cases that have been withdrawn since her suspension and lessons learned from this current process, I assume meaning the process before this committee now. Chair, the decisions by the current DPP are not under investigation by this committee, nor do they form part of the mandate of the committee. She's being asked to testify on, as they've called it, the practical realities and constraints associated with holding the office of the PP. Again, she, her acting tenure is not under scrutiny, and her experience takes place in a different time period. What is now taking place at the PP's office does not fall within the remit of this committee. And one would think that certainly those issues are important to Parliament, but that the correct forum in which to deal with it would be via the PC on Justice, which has oversight over the PPSA. In response to the request, Chair, the DPP sent a letter saying that it was the CEO of the PPSA rather than herself that referred the issue of the legal costs to the AG, and that the evidence presented at the inquiry in relation to legal fees would not have been at this insistence or within the control of the PPSA. The request to the committee does not indicate why in those circumstances she should be testifying or what precisely is being sought from her in relation hereto. There's also no evidence, no indication of the relevance of the DPP's evidence, especially as she did not occupy the post during the investigations, which form part of the motion. And the subsequent decisions on litigation are not the subject of what is being considered now. If anything, Chair, as I've said, such information should be discussed by the PC Justice. So as an aside, Chair, it's not clear why, for example, the testimony of the former DPP, Mr. Malunga, is not being sought to assist instead. In this regard, Chair, the evidence leaders did in fact meet with him and he refused to willingly assist. However, should the committee wish, they can of course consider subpoenaing him as well. Next, Chair, is the former PP, Prof. Thuli Madonsela, and the PP seeks to call her to provide evidence on a long list of things, and these include backlogs within the PPSA from the time she took over the reins as the incumbent PP until the time she left the institution, the relationship between the institution and the State Security Agency, more especially on issues relating to classified documents, the vetting of staff members of the PPSA, donor funding to augment the budgetary constraints of the PPSA, outsourcing of investigations to various law firms, consequence management at the PPSA during her tenure, the impact that the Nkandla judgment had on litigation costs at the PPSA. And Chair, that would be because the Nkandla judgment was the judgment that definitely said that the remedial action of the PP would be binding. The reasons for the seemingly inordinate delays in finalizing key investigations such as FIADA and CX, and the scope and ambit of such investigations, and whether Advocate Mkwebane unduly widened or narrowed them. And that would be that some of those investigations, whilst they started under Prof. Madonsela, were not concluded by the time that she left office. Chair, as I understand it from the application, no response was received from Prof. Madonsela, but we did ask the Secretariat to confirm with her office that they did indeed receive the correspondence from CNH attorneys, which, as I understand, they have confirmed, and they indicated that they are preparing a response. But we have not received same from CNH. Chair, not every aspect of the list that I've just read out would strictly speaking fall within the motion. Moreover, it must be borne in mind that Advocate Madonsela and how she conducted herself as PP and what decisions were taken when she was in office is not before this committee, and scrutiny therefore does not fall within the mandate of this committee. The motion is not a comparative exercise. Lastly, Chair, there is a request to subpoena Minister Pravin Gordhan. And Minister Gordhan, Chair, is sought in relation to the charge of incompetence, which is charge 4 against the PP as it relates to the Pillay pension matter and the so-called SARS rogue unit. And he sought to clarify and test some of the testimony given by Mr. Van Lochenberg and Mr. Pillay. In his correspondence, where he responded to the request to appear voluntarily, Minister Gordhan lists a number of questions on which his evidence is sought. Letter to him lists a number of questions, including on whether he established the rogue unit, whether he requested that that unit be housed within the SSA, if he requested funding from the former finance minister, Trevor Manuel, for funding of that unit. And then the correspondence also raised questions on whether he approved the pension payout to Mr. Pillay. So Mr. Gordhan responded to the request and he declined to appear on the basis that the information sought from him is not necessary to determine the veracity of the charges against the PP or for the proper performance of this committee's functions. And he noted that he was not involved in the investigation, drafting or issuing of the reports in question, and that that information can be obtained via less restrictive means in the form of the numerous affidavits that he has already submitted during court process. He also notes that he has not made any submission to this committee calling for the removal of the PP. Chair, his affidavits are extensive and there are sworn statements relating to this matter. They are already before the committee. So, Chair, the committee is advised to consider the principles that I started out with as regards relevance to the motion, whether the witness has personal information or knowledge, whether there's less restrictive means to obtaining the information, and whether the information is in fact necessary for the committee to determine the question of whether the PP has misconducted herself or is otherwise incompetent as alleged. And Chair, we must take note that even where the committee decides to summons a particular person, it will still be necessary once that person appears to manage the ambit of the evidence. So whilst the committee may feel that some of that evidence is relevant, it may be that other evidence and other questions may not be relevant to the work before the committee. So that is something that would have to be managed in the case that the committee does decide to summons any of these persons. Chair, I have noted my concerns about us not getting into sub-inquiries, as I've called it, because it could have the consequence, even inadvertently, that the committee may lose focus. Chair, any decision to summons will still require us to follow the process as set out in the Powers Act. So we would need concurrence from the Speaker. We would need to direct the Secretary to Parliament and then issue the summons, and this of course would take time, so we need to allow for that. We did, however, through the chair, address correspondence to the PP indicating that notwithstanding that this request was going to be made, that she should be ready to proceed with her confirmed witnesses when the committee resumes next week. And the witness list, chair, that was provided had 8 confirmed witnesses, of which to have already appeared. Chair, then, if you'll allow me, there are two other matters that are not completely on point, but they are related, and I just don't want it to get lost. The one, Chair, is whether members wish to call Ms. Erica Siliers. You'll recall, Chair, that Ms. Siliers was an investigator, or the initial investigator, in the Theater Dairy matter in the office of the Free State, where she was based. And she has been approached by both the evidence leaders as well as the PP's team, and she declined to testify. So members might recall at the end of last year, it was Honourable Helen that raised a question on whether we are going to call her. And there was a discussion that then ensued in the committee between Advocate Bauer and Advocate Mpofu. And they indicated that they don't intend taking steps to secure her presence before the committee. So there is no request as regards her. But in light of Honourable Helen's request, Chair, I just wanted clarification on whether the committee seeks to hear from her or not, in which case we would require summons. So for record keeping, it's just important that we have a decision on that. And then, Chair, on a separate note, there is this ongoing issue as regards the recall of Mr. Van Lochenberg, Mr. Pillay, and Ms. Baloyi. And that's been raised a number of times after those persons have appeared before the committee. There also seems to be an ongoing request that the committee reconsider its decision to summons President Ramaphosa. So, Chair, these matters, in fact, form part of the current review process before the Western Cape High Court, and that matter is due to be heard on the 7th and 8th of February. However, nothing would prevent the committee from making a decision to recall any of those witnesses if the committee is so inclined to do so. But given that they have declined to come voluntarily, because we did make attempts after that request from Advocate Mpofu to secure their further attendance, it would also be necessary then to issue summons in relation to those persons. Members will recall that we did table the letter sent from the attorneys of Mr. Van Lochenberg and Mr. Pillay, who indicated that their clients were extensively cross-examined and that they were also subjected to intimidation, bullying, harassment, and embarrassment, and that their characters were impugned, and therefore they were not willing to return. They also said that the questioning was repetitive, it was argumentative and irrelevant. But nonetheless, Mr. Van Lochenberg did agree to answer any questions if there were any additional questions in writing, but he was not prepared to come and orally give further evidence. And Mr. Pillay had indicated that he had only undertaken to come for one day. So, Chair, if we can please just have some direction on that, because if the committee does intend recalling any of those people, it would require a summons, and I would prefer that we get all of that done in one application to the speaker in the interest of time. Chair, that is my advice. I'm sorry I went a little bit longer than expected. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim, for that comprehensive input in the form of advice to the committee. You provide critical support since we started, in fact, even before the inquiry started. So the committee has benefited a lot from the support that the legal team gives. So it's important that that gets to be considered before we get into any deliberations. I think at that point, honorable members, having heard and listened from Mr. Ngoma and now Ms. Ibrahim, I am going to invite you to indicate your own views in relation to the request that is in front of us from the PP team. May I then get to see a show of hands of those willing to speak. And if you don't need to speak, that's also fine. So far, there's nobody who has any intentions to make contributions, as I don't see any show of hands. Okay, now I see. Honorable Lothric, to be followed by Honorable Misa. For now, in that order. Honorable Lothric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning to all the colleagues, and also from my side, a very prosperous 2023 wish to all of you. Chairperson, I think Advocate Ibrahim has given us a very thorough rundown and explanation, and I think also direction in terms of these different applications to summons witnesses. And I think if I look at or think about what I fully understand is that, one, that we should not now infer any kind of subjective motive on the side of the public protector, but that we really look at the actual merits and substantive part on why these witnesses have to be summoned. And from what I've heard and read, I do think that I agree with Advocate Ibrahim that I cannot really find specific relevance, additional information that would be of assistance to this committee to come to a final decision. So I would, from my side, support her interpretation or her analysis of these different applications to summons witnesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lothric. Honorable Olamise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the colleagues and those who are viewing this, following this Commission. I don't think it's a wise decision. It would be a wise decision on our part to be seen to be supporting a view which says certain witnesses must not come and must not be summoned. For record, we have not been consulted as this committee as who would be a relevant witness chosen by evidence leaders. So I would advise that the committee must stay away from that. Rather, allow every witness who has been summoned, those who are refusing to come forward, then the law must take its own course. We have procedures to force them to come forward. For us to be seen to be a selective, or rather say, we don't want witness X, even having not been given or gave time to the public protector to explain to the committee why she wants witness X and so on and so on. And this is a dangerous zone we're entering. We have to be tread carefully on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Olamisa. Honorable Maneli.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, greetings to all members on the platform and South Africans who are following our deliberation. Chair, maybe just a few points to raise, starting, of course, with agreeing that recap of the information shared with us by Ibrahim, it's helpful in understanding each of the applications made. And I agree with most of those. But I just want to speak to two chair that have been put forward. And maybe that's something you may want to come back to. And when I say you may want to come back to, it's because we're given a warning initially when we had a flood of letters that came before the committee, that there may be a need to work on those from the back of side of things. At least come to a determination, even yourself, whether it is a matter that needs the committee to make a decision on or not, especially from a point of relevance for this committee to consider such. So that's the qualification I'm giving on why I'm saying you may want to come back to it. on the witness, because I'm trying to open up again, I'm using the same gadget that I've used to go through the documents. On the witness that is said to be linked to another witness that the public protector would have identified, I think it's a Mataboge one, in this case, the Bianca one. I'm just saying, Chair, you may want to look at that, given also what we have gone through already. That we had listened to a witness, Mr. Sithole, but it was still of value to listen to a witness, Van der Merwe, even though they may have dealt with a similar scope of work. But surely from where I'm sitting as a committee member, it was helpful to even cross-check the notes that I would have received. And you would find the gaps in some instances in terms of what would have been shared, which would have been very important in coming to a conclusion at the end of all this, as we would be looking at making recommendation. So I'm just saying that whilst the Mataboge question may still be a matter that's hanging, it may still be important from your side to consider this point in this regard. The second one would then, Chair, be the part about the former PP, Prof. Madonsela in this case. Again, for me, I would understand it not to be an issue of comparison, but we do know that some of the key reports we are dealing with were part of the handover process, and there's always been that disjuncture in terms of what was there and whether indeed you've started a new investigation that led to the gaps that would have been there. And I think that is also an appreciation of the fact that from what has been shared thus far before the committee, you would have not had that proper handover, I'm saying from the point of taking over and so on, which I think from investigators would have spoken before will always make the reference that this would have not applied in this way, but this way. And I'm just saying, I'm citing just a few points. Even if you talk the part about security clearance at different levels, there would always be that comparison, and you had to put the policy before this committee. And I'm just saying that what may then be important would be how you restrict the scope of such engagement, I think, from the point of the committee. Because surely when one looks at the detailed letters, Chair, you will see from the letter, I think also the way they get structured, it may be the way legally people look at it. But if you say to me, I'm coming and these are the points, but however prepared that I may go outside of what you are, I'm calling you for, I do not really know what you're calling me for, exactly, right? So I can spend time that does not assist the committee because I'm answering questions about why I did not visit a certain area when I'm supposed to be answering about whether you did meet state security or not. So I'm just saying, for me, that would be something you may want to consider just to complete some of the gaps which were as a result of the handover. And I'm saying specifically the CIX as well as the FRED report, because there's always been such an argument that the report was almost complete, but there would have been 10 of events. Otherwise, for all others, Chair, I agree that we have enough info before us, even documents that are made as a reference that you must look for. It's documents we have gone through and we have enough info before us. That's really the view, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. Honorable Lakode.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll request that I switch off my video, Honorable Chair, because I have load shedding where at home. So, Honorable Chairperson, let me first welcome the presentation made by Advocate Ibrahim. We really support that. Just to mention a few of the witnesses that as per the correspondences that were presented to this committee. Honorable Chairperson, when it comes to Honorable Mazoni appearing as a witness to this committee, I really don't think that will add value to this committee, calling Honorable Mazoni to appear here. Because what Honorable Mazoni did is to collect those evidences, those court cases, court judgments, and put together this motion on behalf of a party. So I don't know if she was really involved in all these matters. I don't think so. So that's my opinion. As for the former PP, Prof. Madonsela, I think because she left some of the investigations not being finalized, I think we can dip into her coming to this, appearing before this inquiry, so that we get a gist of where did she left off, and we might have some questions, other questions that we might want to put to her. Then the issue of precedent appearing before this committee, I think we have dealt with this matter many times in this committee and we exhausted it. So let's just leave it where it is. With regard to Abo PG, Praveen Gordon, Abo Play, so they submitted affidavits to court. The courts made judgment on these cases. So this is a parliamentary inquiry. We cannot allow a situation where we will come back and reopen the court litigations. We are not going to do that, Honorable Chairperson. It will not assist the committee in any way. Affidavits are available. So I don't think that we should go that route of calling them with regard to that, to those court judgments. Then with regard to Deputy PP, Koleka Galeka, really, I want to agree with the presentation made by the evidence leader that if it was the former Deputy Public Protector.
She's not an evidence leader, she's a legal advisor.
Sorry. My apologies, Honorable Chairperson. I wanted to say that
yes.
With, I agree fully with the presentation made by Advocate Ibrahim, the parliamentary legal advisor. So to say that it would add value if maybe we call, if it was the former deputy public protector called before this committee, I think because he worked with the current PP in those cases, the current PP found him there. So we would get something there. So I don't think really the current deputy public protector will assist this committee in any way. But Honorable Chair, I want to also to agree with Honorable Maneli that maybe in your back office with the evidence leaders and the parliamentary legal services, you can also assist this committee, because we no longer want to drag or to waste time with regard to witnesses. It cannot be open-ended, Honorable Chairperson. One way or the other, we need to take that decision to say that now we are closing on these witnesses. Otherwise, this inquiry will go on and on and on and on. So we need to come to that conclusion to say we will not allow any more witnesses. This is the cutoff number. So we need to come to that as a committee. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lagude. And I recognize Honorable Sukas. I think that's my last hand.
Yes, good morning, Chair, and good morning to the committee and to the public that are listening into the meeting. Let me also just extend a blessed 2023 to all the committee members. I trust that we will have a prosperous and healthy 2023. Chairperson, I just want to support some views that were highlighted, and also just acknowledge what you said at the start of the meeting, as well as what Honorable Lakude now has expressed, which is the set timeline for the committee to conclude its work and the commitment that we have to ensure that we fulfill our mandate, and that everything we do should be within that framework. Having said that, Chair, so I want to acknowledge the role of the legal advisor, Mrs. Ibrahim, and the role that she plays to assist us with our work. It's really valuable to us in making decisions. So when it comes to the witnesses and that the committee has been asked to assist with, I share the view of Honorable Maneli in regard to the previous public protector, Professor Thuli Madonsela's appearance, to the value to the work and re-evaluating, especially in light of the charges, that is charge 11.1, and the resource planning within the Office of the Public Protector. In addition to obviously what was mentioned by Honorable Lakude. But the rest of the witnesses, Chair, we should acknowledge that both Mr. Play and Mr. Van Lochenberg has been before this committee. In fact, Mr. Van Lochenberg has been before the committee for a period of 2 days. And I think Mr. Pillay's initial time was extended, and he made himself even available beyond that, even though he was out of the country. Now, in terms of that, I fully agree with what the colleagues have said here. The committee has heard that evidence, and there is no need for us to repeat witnesses or to hear those witnesses again. It needs to be within the ambit of relevance and how it supports us to fulfill what we need to do within the specific time frame. I support, though, that Professor Thuli Madonsela, her appearance before the committee would greatly assist with within the context, I'm sorry, of what I mentioned, the charge of 11.1, as well as the resource planning and that, it would be helpful. I also want to say, Chair, that what was said by the by Mrs. Ebrahim is important. Many times in the gymnastics of last year, it gets lost that actually the committee represents the public. And that is our primary focus, to do the work for which we have been put before Parliament. We are now seeing witnesses replying in the way that they do because the chickens come home to roost in terms of how witnesses has been treated and has been highlighted now in their correspondence. I bring that forward, Chair, because I think it is important for us to recognize that the treatment of witnesses has had an impact, not only on them, but it had an impact on the work of the committee and the way that the committee has been viewed by the public. And going forward, Chair, even should Professor Thuli Madonsela appear before the committee or any other witness coming forward, that that should be paramount for us to ensure that witnesses are not, their rights are not trampled upon, and that the work of the committee is not impeded by further gymnastics. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sukas. Colleagues, let's do this, because I want to be very specific and detailed by way of how we summarize this discussion. I don't want to be general and have an abstract outcome. I'm going to take you back and I'm going to do this one by one with you. And so let me start. That is it, therefore, my proper understanding and collection that we are saying so far, those that have spoken, that having listened to the presentation and the advice of the legal team, having read the correspondence that has been sent to us, and having participated in the inquiry up to so far as members, that we are of the view that the former public protector, Professor Thuli Madonsela, must be interacted with by the committee through the chair in the manner would have done with Mr. Kekana in concurrence with the speaker, where the secretary does certain things. Is it my understanding and proper summary that we are saying that former public protector Thuli Madonsela can assist this committee a great deal in terms of its work? Before I proceed to the next one, do I have a agreement on that?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Nagude moves that we do that. Honorable Sukas?
Yes, Chair, I second that.
The name
as well as second.
Thank you, seconders. Thank you.
Honorable Suwele, second.
Thank you, with Vilema. Thank you. So the name of former public protector Thuli Madonsela is therefore agreed that it must be interacted with in the form of these subpoenas. I move from there. Is it also therefore my understanding that you are agreeing? Yeah, we are of the view that Ms. Bianca Vuyana be asked to come to the committee, that she would be of value to assist this committee. Is that a correct summary of what you are saying, Honorable Maneli?
Yes, Chair. I still think that's correct.
Okay. Honorable Maneli moves that we bring her in through this process. Is there any seconder or anybody with a grief?
Judith Namatsinga.
Seconded, Honorable Sue.
Thank you, Honorable Mema Dzinga Tshabalala. Support. I proceed. There's been at least from one member, a suggestion, so I need to check if there's support for this, that Ms. Bianca Mbuyana as testimony it seems to be linked in terms of how they work together with that of Mr. Rodney Matabuge, and that there was a request that Rodney Matabuge be also asked to come before the committee to connect the dots between what Ms. Mbuyana and what you would say. Am I reading that situation correct? Honorable Maneli?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is on the basis of the presentation made by Ms. Ibrahim, that initially there was this Tebuche to be called as voluntary, even though you don't have as yet anything that has been presented. So we're just looking at it from that point that you can then colorate the info. That's how that name comes in. But Bianca would still be important to bring before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. Honorable Sukas.
Yes, Chair, my apologies, Chair. I just need to clarify my support of what Honorable Maneli was said was in reference to Professor Tuli Madonsela and not, Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sukas. Any support for bringing in Mr. Matabuge?
Honorable Chair.
Just before you proceed, just to explain that he's not one of those that have been requested for subpoenas. I think the legal advisor was saying also that before even Honorable Maneli spoke, that initially Mr. Matabuge would have been in the list of the public protector of witnesses. But doesn't seem to be listed now anymore. And therefore, that was before Mr. Maneli draw a linkage between the two. And maybe before you come in, Ms. Lagude, Ms. Ibrahim? You want to clarify something?
Yes, Chairperson, I forgot to note that Ms. Bianca's name is also on the list of confirmed witnesses. So you will see from the letter, they've included an SMS or WhatsApp communication from Ms. Bianca, where she says, well, if Mr. Matabuge is not going to come, then she won't come. So there obviously seems to be some issue there between the two of them. And they led to the same investigations.
Okay. So that confirms the linkage. Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim, on that. Honorable Lagode?
Honorable Chairperson, because of that link of those two witnesses, so I would support that you engage with them to appear before both of them, because they are linked. Thanks, Chair.
Right, the support for the pairing or bringing in of Ms. Rodney Matabuge. Okay, I move from that. Is that an old hand, Ms. Sukas, or a new hand before I proceed?
It's an old hand, Chair, my apologies.
Okay, that's 2022 hand. Okay, we are now in 2023. Thank you. The next list of witnesses, honorable members. Also, there would have been a suggestion made specifically, I think, by Honorable Lagude, that it might be important to consider interacting with the former Deputy Public Protector, Mr. Kevin Malunga. Can I hear your views on that, honorable members?
Honorable
Tseke supports that. Okay. Any other different view or grief? None. I then proceed. There is a point raised by our legal advisor that on the issue of Ms. Erika Siliers, who had declined, but both the public protector and legal team and evidence leaders did not request that she comes. And that this issue of Ms. Siliers is only raised because towards the end of last year, Honorable Aaron had raised that it might be of help to interact with Ms. Siliers. Can I get your opinion or your thinking on that? It looks like I'm now asking them as a journalist, so there's no comment. Okay, Honorable Maneli.
No, it's the gadget, sir, Chair. We try to. Chair, my understanding, if my recollection is fine, this response was made by both the evidence leaders and the public protector's legal team after that request would have been made, that it would have been difficult to get such a witness, given also the time and what the possible witness would be busy with as we speak. But I think more importantly for me, Chair, is that because of the information that has been placed before the committee and where Siliers would have been reporting to, we have info before us to work from. But I'm also doing it in line with what Honorable Laguda would have said, that we also need to be certain about the number of witnesses that we bring in order for the committee to, at some point, conclude its work as expected, that we should do this, but looking at timeframes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. Honorable Maneli suggests that not calling Ms. Siliers would not harm the work of this committee, in that would have the relevant information if she would not have come. Anybody supporting that?
Honorable Chair, yes. I fully agree with Honorable Maneli. We have all the material information with regard to the issue that she would have been called to appear before the committee and testify. So there's no need for us to call her. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I second Honorable Siwele.
Thank you, Honorable Siwele. Extra second, man. In relation to Ms. Pillay, Mr. Pillay, Mr. Van Lochenberg, and Bassani, you would have had the presentation on this. You would have been part of interacting with these witnesses. You would have read their responses after there was a request to recall them. And you would have read also some of their written responses. What is the member's take on these three in relation to them being recalled or subpoenaed? Honorable Lucas?
Chair, I strongly feel that these witnesses have appeared before us. They have done their civic duty to approach the committee. They've been treated abysmally in the committee when they were cross-examined. And I fully accept their reply. And I do think that the committee has covered extensively, has heard extensively their testimony. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lucas. Honorable Maneli, I see your hand.
Yes, Chair, I'm seconding Honorable Sukas that we do not need to call them again, because it is not a matter of not cooperating. They've cooperated to a point that I've given an extra opportunity that if you have anything in writing, submit that to that in writing. So I'm saying we work by move.
Thank you.
Double second.
Thank you, Honorable Maniti and Suela. We proceed from that. I then take you to the next witness, honorable members, in relation to Honorable Mazoni. Is it my understanding that there's a strong view that interaction or bringing her in would be unhelpful and that she doesn't really have the personal knowledge of the issues that should have brought in the motion, and that her calling or subpoenaing would be immaterial. Can I hear members on this?
No, no.
Honorable Denner, I'm trying to, just before you speak, Honorable Denner, I'm trying to check who Reverend Lebogang is.
My apologies, Chairperson, it's Honorable Nkosi. I'm not using my gadget.
Okay, I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you, Reverend. It's 2023. Honorable Denner?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everyone and all of the best for the new year. Chair, I think considering that Parliament has considered the motion by Honourable Mazoni and that it was a motion put through by Parliament, it would be unnecessary to call Honourable Mazoni to come and testify before the committee. I think everything is covered in the mandate and in all of the affidavits. So I would say that it won't be necessary for Honourable Mazoni to be called by this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Denner. Honourable Nkosi, Aka Reverend.
Yeah, Chair, that would have been
I second
the last speaker. Thanks, Chair.
That would have been your arguments. It
would have been my
seconded. Input.
Yes.
All right, please mute Honorable Suela. Thank you, Honorable Ngosi. I proceed therefore from that. May I take you to the next witness, that of the Deputy Public Protector, current, and who is acting Public Protector. Is it my understanding that there's a strong view that many of the things that are in motion were not under investigations, and that it was also a different period, and that there's an issue of relevance in relation to her. May I hear members on this?
Agreed, Chair. Tsege.
Tsege agreed that we should not call her.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Tsege.
I second. So, well, okay. A second.
Thank you, Honorable Suele. Okay, no, any other difficulty on that before I proceed? None. I proceed to the next witness that has been requested to be subpoenaed. And that witness is the Honorable. Okay, just before I go to the next witness, There's just a clarity sought. I think just to clarify that, the clarity is that, did we agree that we want former public Deputy Public Protector Malunga to come? I would have summarized as such that that's what members would have agreed to. Am I correct in that?
Yes, you're correct, Chair.
Correct.
Thank you. Proceed. The next witness that has been requested to be subpoenaed by the committee from the Public Protector team is that of Honorable Praveen Godan, that is requested to come before this committee. And there would have been explanations given about the correspondence between them. And this seems to be an issue of relevance raised, not involved in any of these investigations, and so on. Can I hear members to speak to on this one? Anybody wants to speak on this matter of this witness?
Chairperson, it's not necessary to call him. It's not necessary.
Thank you, Honorable Siwela. Any other member? Honorable Maneli?
Thank you, Chair. Okay, can you hear me now, Chair? Thank you. No, I am seconding that the matters that are being raised have been aired already in courts, as we've been advised. I mean, even the point that is made there, you're asking a person to comment on what would have been a comment of a charge than what the person would be involved in. So there would be no necessity, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Maneli. And the next witness in that list that has also been requested is that of, and here, so that I don't do as Honorable Dlabode did, it is Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, because he's called as a witness in that way and not as the president. The committee would have attended to this matter, made its own decision at the time when this request was made much earlier. And on the basis of the information available to it, the issues of relevance, that Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa would not be called or subpoenaed to come to the committee. And that what we have now is a repeat of that request with no additional information or new information about what is different now than when that was. Can I hear members on this?
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson, let me say that with regard to this issue of calling Mr. Matamela Cyril Ramaphosa to appear before this committee as a witness, we dealt with this matter as a committee.
You were disappearing, Chairperson.
We dealt with this matter as a committee several times. So we exhausted it. So let's not resuscitate it. It's dead. Let's leave it there. We dealt with it as a committee. We took a decision. So let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The Mr. Ramaphosa will not add value to the as per the charges that are before this committee. Thank you.
Honorable Gondwe, I recognize you. Honorable Dlabode says this is a closed matter. Honorable Gondwe, welcome, and you are recognized.
Good morning, Chairperson, and compliments of the season to everybody. Chairperson, I just wanted to agree with what Honorable Dlabode has said. You will recall that we received a legal opinion on this matter. And so I think it's an open and shut case, and there is no need. And I agree with Honorable Dlabode that if we call Mr. Ramaphosa as a witness, it will not add value to the work of the inquiry in any way. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Gondwe. In summary, therefore, those would be, have been the last witnesses. Maybe before I go to the summary, to ask you for the last time as members, is there any other witness that you think we've missed that is needed that you think we should call? So that before I summarize this, so that we don't want to come back. But before that, I see the head of Ms. Ibrahim.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't want to throw a spanner in the works, but unfortunately it comes with the territory of having to give legal advice. In respect, Chair, of Mr. Matabohe and Mr. Kevin Malunga, they were not requested by the PP, so we have not followed a formal process to try to secure their presence voluntarily. So I just ask that when the resolution is taken, that the resolution to summons them would be conditional upon them declining our request. So we will indeed send a letter out to them first asking for them to come voluntarily. And if they then decline, we will move to the stage of summons. But we can't skip that important step of asking politely first. Thank you, Chair.
That's fine. That's in order. Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim. I was getting to this point just before I summarize, and I would have summarized the point you're making in terms of the differentiation between subpoena and those that must come voluntarily, so that we don't mix that. But before I make that summary, is there anybody else from the members who think that we've missed this witness? Because now we're concluding on the list of witnesses that will be subpoenaed and those that will follow a certain process. None. And so therefore, colleagues, what this means, therefore, in summary, we are saying that Professor Thuli Madonsela, as well as Ms. Bianca Mvuyana, will have to be interacted with using the route of a subpoena process. Both would have been in the list requested by the public protector team, and therefore the committee agrees to those two to follow that route. In addition, the committee is of the view that the evidence leaders must do further work beyond these witnesses, that the committee is interested that Mr. Matabuha would be very much helpful given the shared work he would be doing, he would have been doing with Ms. Bianca Mvuyana, and that Ms. Matabuha, Rodney Matabuha, must be asked to appear before the committee, which is not a subpoena. He would not have been asked before, and that process must commence. And same process must therefore commence in relation to the former Deputy Public Protector, Mr. Kevin Malunga. And so we differentiate the two. But in response to the request of the Public Protector team, the committee accede to two names that I've already shared, and the committee declines the rest of the list that would have been requested by the public protector team in terms of subpoena. That's a summary, colleagues, in relation to this matter. I therefore want to step off this. Of course, the issue of misdemeanors was raised, and the committee's of the view that we do not need to bring him, because we have what he would have been involved in detail. And the committee's of the strong view that we need immediately, as of today, through the committee chair, that work of interacting with the relevant stakeholders to commence, and that we stick to our timelines. We try very hard to ensure that we adhere to the program that we've agreed to, and very strongly to say that every process has got a start and an end. Project management, that's the first thing you get taught in project management. That it is not an elastic process. It's a start and a finish, and that we've got to get to the next point, which is point B of that. Thank you, That would be my summary, therefore, of the discussion on that point of those subpoenas. We get off this point, and I would invite the Secretary, Ms. Temi Wasingoma, on the next point.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the next item, Chair, is the adoption of minutes of 1 December and 5 December. So I'm on.
Recording stopped.
You can't stop recording. That's the minute.
I hope Tsepo will attend to the
recording in progress.
Thank you, Tsepo. Chairperson, on your screen are the minutes of the committee meeting of Thursday, 1 December, where Mr. Lamula appeared before the committee. The first two pages, of course, are the attendance register, and then that's your second page, Chairperson.
And that being the last page.
And then we have this page, and yeah, which is the last page. Thank you, Chair.
Any corrections, honorable members? None. Do I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Judith Namadinga Chabalala, I move for the adoption of the minutes as read and raised by the Secretary. Thank you.
Honorable Nemadzinga Chabalala moves. Any seconder?
Didimalo Lekwase seconds, Chair.
Didimalo Lekwase, honorable member, supports. The minutes are duly adopted. The next set of minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next set of minutes would be the minutes of 5 December 2022. We had Ms. Caroline Zulu that was to appear before the committee. As it's known, the first 2.5 pages is the attendance register, and we have the minutes from page 2 at the bottom right until page 3. And then the last part, which is something that we would not want to see again on the minutes, which is when we adopted long list of minutes, Chair, and yeah, which then comes to the end there.
Thank you, Mr. Ngoma. Are there any corrections? You have picked up members on the minutes of the 5th of December, our last meeting of 2022. None. Do I have a mover for the minutes?
I move, Chair,
Honorable,
for the adoption.
Honorable Doris Lakode moves. Any seconder?
I second the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Honorable Gondwe, trying to fix her arrears of being in the meeting seconds. The minutes are duly adopted. Thank you. That's the settling of the minutes. Next point, Mr. Ngoma.
Thank you, Chair. That would have been the last set of the minutes. So, right as we stand now, all the minutes of the previous committee meetings have been adopted, except the minutes of today, which will be adopted in the next meeting. Thank you, Chair.
And that was our last point.
And that would have been our last point for the day, Chair, not unless there was issues of clarity and wanted. Because, Chair, we did not, as you had outlined the program at the beginning, we had shared the program. Nothing has changed from the last program that we've shared with members. So I did not see that we should even get into it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ngoma. Honorable members, we are going to meet and see you in a hybrid resumption of the inquiry from Monday the 30th. At this point, the time being 11:35, this meeting is adjourned. I thank you.
Long live the chairperson. Compliments.
Long live the chair. Thank you.